welcome you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our one God. Today, these persons are assisting in leading worship, and I am so grateful to have Mary Falkenberry, Allie Hall, our communion servers, Darlene Stroud and Dick Hines, Dick Falkenberry and Ryan Falkenberry, and Dave and Peg Peter. The music this morning is offered by our talented Mark and Michelle Murray. Communion online, if you are worshiping with us online, we are grateful to have you with us and invite you to have your own elements that you may also share in this gift that Christ has given to us. If you are worshiping here in person, to receive communion in your seats, there is prepackaged elements. Those are at the welcome table. You're welcome to use those and stay in your seats. Otherwise, there will be three stations this morning, one here in the center, one on the sidewalk, and one near the patio. So you'll have all three opportunities there. As you receive your elements, for those who are unfamiliar with our tradition, you will receive a piece of the bread large enough to dip it. You will dip it into the cup and receive the juice and the bread at one time. Next Sunday, I'm going to invite you to ring in Return Sunday. You are going to have an opportunity to have one of these bells, 8 different colors, and we will be playing Joy to the World and Amazing Grace together as we ring in our Return Sunday together. It'll be a very spectacular and special worship service, so be sure to join us in person if at all possible. Otherwise, we will be online. Our service changes. We're back to our fall, winter, and spring schedule. The change is that we worship in one worship service downtown at 10 a.m. So invite you to join us next Sunday for our Return Sunday. Being the special Sunday that it is, we will be grilling out hamburgers and hot dogs and invite you to bring your dishes and desserts to share. We will be sharing as a pitch-in and a family dinner together. Seating will be different. We'll be in the north, south, east, west parlors. If you'd like to be seated inside, outside tables will be available, as well as games and a bounce house and bubbles and a lot of fun. So be sure to stick around for the meal and the fun to follow the worship service. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
As we return to our seats, I have one additional invitation for you. Deirdre Rausch and family invite your attendance at the Celebration of Life for Bill. Bill Rausch's funeral will be at the church on Tuesday, September 3rd at 6 p.m. The visitation prior to the funeral service at 6 is 4 to 6. So they would invite your attendance and help them to celebrate Bill's life. Let us now center our hearts for worship.
Stand as you are able. We are called to be people of faith in the midst of the world, and so we mix our worship and our work, our faith and our love. We gather here as people who live in the world, and yet
we gather as people who have been called to see the world from a different point of view.
God has called us together. God has called us to be part of a community
that challenges us to consider questions of priority as we engage with the world.
In this time together, may God open our hearts, minds, and ears and eyes, allowing us to see deeper.
Work in us and through us, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite the children down for our children's moment. This is also your chance to get your worship kit for the morning. All right, Nathan, you've got our bag today. Why don't you go ahead and carefully open it up. We're starting a new month, and all month long we're going to be learning that we are designed for a purpose. What is it? Wrong. It's not just an iPad. You know what this is? This is my iPad, which I refer to as my brain. This is my digital planner. This is what I set every single week, and it tells me to feed my dog, to clean my house, to do my work, to drink water. Water is on my to-do list, yes. It tells me to do everything. Everything in life. Is that what this iPad was originally planned for? No. It didn't know when I bought it that it was going to become my brain, did it? We don't always know why God created us, but we know that we are wonderfully and remarkably made, and we were made for a purpose. And so that's what we're going to be talking about all month long at church when we're back downtown. But today we're going to be sitting and we're going to be playing with our worship kits and we're going to be listening to a story about Moses. Okay? Our ancestors in faith gathered together long ago to remember to be restored, to be renewed. They shared their story, prayed together, and made an offering to God as they prepared to set out on the long journey to freedom in the promised land. Today, we gather to remember and to pray together and to be restored and renewed, and we bring our own offerings so that the ministry of this church will continue to participate in the saving works of God. God, whose giving knows no ending, we know how to say thank you when we receive. Right now, we are saying thank you as we give. In our giving, hear our heartfelt gratitude for all that you are and all that we have. Bless these gifts for your mission in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the gifts and talents you have given us that allow us to earn a living and contribute something positive to our world. We pray for those who are without work. Sustain them and us with your love. Help us to realize that we have worth as human beings. job or no job. Lord, remind us today that our worth comes because you made us. We are your children, no matter what. You love us, and you call us to love and support each other. We pray, Lord, for those who do the dirty work in our lives, those who break their backs for us, those who are cheated out of even a minimum wage, those who have no access to health care, those who cannot afford to educate their kids. Help us to bind together, Lord, as a community, as a nation, because we need one another, the garbage collectors, the police, the stock people in our stores, the UPS driver, the pilots, the clerk, the plumbers, the accountants, the bank tellers, the landscapers, the lifeguards, those who clean our houses, the cooks, the waiters, the steel workers, the carpenters, the scientists, and the writers. Help us to realize this weekend how dependent we are on one another. We are one in you, Lord. We, the family of God. May we give thanks for each other this Labor Day weekend. Help us celebrate and give thanks for each other and appreciate the value, the dignity, the contribution that each one makes to keep our country, our cities, our lives going. It is because of you we have gathered, and out of love for you we worship. Amen. The reading today is from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 through 13. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
He was a professional photographer, but he really, that was his job. He was a wildlife photographer, and he worked very diligently. He was very good at that. But his hobby was to work out in his work shed. And he just loved to tinker out there, but he wasn't very tidy. He was very busy, so when he got out in his shed, he just enjoyed working, but he never took the time to clean up. And yet, every morning, once he started doing this, every morning his shed was cleaned up. He just didn't understand this. This went on for months. And finally he decided, well, somebody's here consistently, because 99% of the mornings that he came back out to his shed, it was clean. So he decided to use what he knew how to do. He used the night vision photography, set up a camera in his shed, and he wanted to record this mystery housekeeper that he had. And he was shocked to see who it was that was cleaning up all the nuts and the bolts and the corks and the screws and the waste paper that he had just scattered all over the counters and on the floor. It was a mouse. He said the happy little mouse just looked like he was really enjoying it, and he would put everything back right where it was supposed to be. And so each morning, and he said, you know, I really needed the help. I just didn't really expect it from a mouse. And so he just continued on. And he said, I actually never did tidy up because it gave the mouse something to do and seemed to make him very happy. So they had a great relationship. And he got the help that he needed. We all need help. We all depend on someone else. We all need that. We are also those who offer help. And it comes in many, many different ways and shapes and sizes. There was also a very famous person who had gone to San Francisco, but a very private person, didn't really want to make a public appearance, didn't want to make a public speech or anything like that, but was staying in a hotel in San Francisco, and outside of the hotel there was a homeless person. And he walked over to the homeless person. He says, come on, you look like you could use something to eat. Join me for dinner. And he got to know the homeless person a little bit, found out where he would spend the nights, and he called himself Stress. That was the name he had given himself because he lived such a stressful life as a homeless person and described himself as always depressed. Well, they shared a great meal, and then they parted their ways. But the very famous person got wind of the fact that the radio station in San Francisco had put out kind of a bounty on him, that anybody that could get him to come in and offer an interview for that radio station would get $2,000. Well, he heard about this, and he went to where Stress had told him that he would be staying, and sure enough, he found him there. And he said, come on, you're going to go with me. We're taking a ride. And they rode to the radio station, and he introduced Stress as the person that got him to come into the radio station. So Stress got the $2,000. He had earned it, which made him very proud of himself. And the relationship kind of continued after that, and he referred him to a rehab center so that he could get himself clean of any drugs that he was using and alcohol that he consumed. Got himself cleaned up to the point where he was renting an apartment, and it was all based on the $2,000 that he earned. He was making his own way, earning his way into a new life. And the famous person returned after a period of time, went back to San Francisco and looked up Stress. And he said, oh, I'm not going by Stress anymore. I'm using my real name. I can claim who I am now. That's the kind of help that just changed a life, giving them tools to equip themselves. So God provides many ways that we can support or we can receive support, many different tools and ways. And our story in Exodus is a story of just that, God helping out, being supportive of the Israelites. You see, this chapter 17 begins with a story that's kind of vaguely familiar at a minimum to most people who've done any study or listening to any of Bible lessons, and that is that water came from the rock. You see, Moses had been leading the people around in the wilderness, and they were guided by the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day, God's presence with them. And they were following that around, moving around quite a bit at this point in the story. They actually went to this place called Rephidim. And Rephidim was a place that had no water. And so the people really began to complain. Is God really with us? Are we just following some random shadow that we don't even know? Because he's brought us to a place where we're just going to dry up out of thirst. And so God directed Moses to strike the rock with his staff, and he did so, and there was water. Enough water for all the thousands of Israelites that were there. Enough water for all the livestock that they had to take care of in order to sustain their own life. God provided. God was indeed present with them. And you see, God was serving kind of as a supporting actor. He was supporting the Israelites, kind of behind the scenes. Moses was their leader, but God was present, taking care of them, supporting them. And you know, we have this, a whole thing. We have a whole system of supporting actors, right? The Academy Awards are a place that way they present Oscars to the best supporting actor each year. Those are handed out in March when the Oscars are presented. And most of the time, the supporting actors are people we really hadn't heard of before. They're really people that even after they receive this Oscar, we may never hear of again. But for this moment in time, they were needed. They were primary. They were important to this picture that had been filmed. And without them, the picture would have been less than what it was. It gave somebody for the main actor or actress to play off of, to have conversation with. The best supporting actor, the best supporting actress. They are important. And our cast of characters in Exodus 17 is no different. Moses was the star. He was the leader. He was inspirational. He had the vision. He heard directly from God. He was the star of the show. And without him, the Israelites would still be in slavery. They would not have gotten as far as they had gotten. But Moses had this supporting cast. First of all, Joshua. We hear a lot about Joshua. He's eventually the one that leads the Israelites into the promised land. But Joshua, this is his very first appearance. And Moses tells Joshua to form an army. You see, they had come in, they'd been traveling around, and they had come into an area where the Amalekites thought would be their territory. They did not appreciate the Israelites there in any shape or form. Even though this was a waterless territory, it was theirs. And so they attacked. And it was Joshua that had formed the army. But it wasn't Joshua alone that led them to victory. You see, Moses, again, the people were saying, really? Is God really with us? I mean, we're facing all of this awful stuff. And now we're being attacked? The first time they had been attacked since Pharaoh. And that was the parting of the Red Sea. The Pharaoh had come after them on their first leg of freedom. But now they were in face-to-face combat for the very first time. What was this all about? Well, we have Moses. Then he has a staff. The staff, it's called the staff of God, because the staff represented the presence of God for Moses, and it should have for the Israelites. And so Moses went up on the hill and held up the staff for them to see that God was there, God was supportive, and God was. But God needs God's people to do their part. All of us to do our part, not just to say we'll do our part, but to actually do it, to fulfill it. And we are weak. Moses was. I mean, have you ever had to hold your hand up for a really long period of time? It's hard to do, much less holding on to a staff. And even if you take both hands, That's still hard to do. Both hands up in the air. But he was showing them that God is present, God is with you. And this was different because most of the time when the Israelites, when any people in the Old Testament would go into war, the people that were in leadership were out front. They were on the ground in the battle. God was the one leading the way, and Moses was holding the staff to show them. It wasn't Moses that was down there. It was God, God's presence with them. But Moses couldn't do it all by himself. He couldn't show them God's presence because he was weak and tired. And so along comes Aaron and Ur. And I love the image, actually holding up his arms, having him seated on a rock, and they took over. They each took an arm. They didn't walk in and say, "All right, Moses, get your act together. Every time you drop the stick, the Israelites begin to lose. Come on, you can do it." There weren't any empty words of encouragement. There was action. They took action. There was a pastor's spouse, and she really wanted to be supportive of her husband, but she experienced his sermons as sleep-inducing sermons. Hopefully you don't experience those very often. But she thought, you know, if I criticize him, if I keep trying to correct him, if I keep trying to make suggestions, he just becomes really depressed. It doesn't seem to improve what he does at all. So I'm going to be supportive and I'm going to just bite my tongue. And she did. 50 years. So, when it was retirement, they had a big party and everybody came and offered their well wishes as they moved on into retirement. And after the party, they get home kind of late and he notices that her dresser drawer is kind of left ajar. He really never looked through her dresser drawer. There was no need to, but he kind of glanced in and he saw 3 eggs and a whole lot of scattered money in there, and when he counted it up, it was $10,000. And he thought, I've got to find out what this is all about. And so he took that to her. He said, honey, I noticed that in your drawer you have 3 eggs and $10,000. What's that about? And she says, well, honey, every time one of your sermons induced sleep in the congregation, I put an egg in the drawer. And he says, gosh, that's fantastic. Only 3 eggs in 50 years? Pretty good. So what's the $10,000 about? And she says, well, honey, every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them. Support comes in many different ways, right? And it does. We have received support in many different ways. God provides support in many different ways. Maybe a mouse. Maybe a rod. Maybe it's biting our tongue. A prayer. Helping and assisting someone to be themselves. There's so many ways that we can be supportive, that we are supportive, that we need support. And so I ask you this morning, who is supporting you? Who are you supporting? And in the midst of it all, We have the greatest support of all. Of all time, the most ultimate support that we could get, that we could offer another person, and that is in Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate communion, remembering Christ's love and support is ongoing, day in and day out. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts to receive communion. The Holy One be with you. Open your hearts to the one who is love. Let us give thanks to God who takes risks for love. Throughout history, O God, we have struggled to claim the power you have given us. Destructive forces within and around us make us question your call upon our lives. We turn ourselves over in ways ordinary and remarkable to what is, to what has been, to the familiar. But you have created us for so much more. In Jesus, we saw life lived in all its potential, in all its sacred power. Life that is abundant love, that was creative and fervent for justice. Jesus, knowing the dangers ahead, still did not cave to the threats of power or give in to the temptation of popularity. There was nothing the world could trade for his love of those suffering and betrayed, not between his own life. On the night he was arrested, he gathered his followers around his table. Even the one who would turn him over to the cross, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to all of them, and said, after the supper, he did the same with the cup, saying, in remembering the life of Jesus, we remember what he taught us about ourselves, about the power God has given us. We remember that God in the flesh is good news that feeds, that protects, that heals and delivers. And so we pray. We pour out your spirit on this bread and this cup, O God. Through these gifts, fill our hearts with the courage to believe the kingdom within us, to live boldly in pursuit of love, and to hold the wisdom that leads by following. Blessed be this meal of hope. And now we join together, echoing the prayer of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite those who will be assisting in communion to come forward at this time. As they are coming forward, there will be the three stations here on the sidewalk and near the patio. The Lord's table is ready. God, we give you thanks for this meal that nourishes us in body and spirit and gives us the strength to serve you and our sisters and brothers. May our gratitude be evident in how we live each day, serving others. Amen. Others up when we are living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Benediction. Go now into your week knowing that you have a God that goes with you, that supports you and loves you. Go and do and be likewise. Amen.